We continue our learning Lili Nishbas Tavi ben Menachem Rishem Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Shabbos Perek Vav Mishnah Ches. Hakiteya. Kiteya is an amputee. Yotze Bekav Shelo. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the amputee is able to go out with his wooden foot. Now, obviously not as advanced as what we have today for amputees, but this is referring to an artificial foot made from wood, and the amputee is able to fit the stump in that area, but the support he's not getting from that. Not like today, but in those days, it was more cosmetic. There were crutches needed for support. This is more cosmetic in nature, and therefore, one would have thought that you cannot go out with this on Shabbos, and that, in fact, is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Meir says, nonetheless, it's considered his shoe, and he's allowed to go out with it in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, not considered carry. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, this is not an adornment. He can't walk using this unless he uses crutches anyway. So the fact that it's just cosmetic, or it's there to in order to conceal the fact that he doesn't have a foot, that he just has a stump. So he says that's not considered an adornment. It's not a shoe, and therefore you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Others claim that's not the issue. According to Rabbi Yossi, the issue here is that it may fall off. It's not stable, and therefore the person with this disability, the amputee, is going to carry it. And we happen to follow Rabbi Yossi's opinion on this, and we are strict. Now, the Mishnah is going to move into some of the laws of Tumah. We mentioned the laws of Tumah as well. We're going to speak about that regarding this wooden foot as well. So the Mishnah says like this, V'myeshlo beis kibul kisusim tameh. If this wooden foot has a cavity, has a little bit of an opening for kisusim, for pads, which is obviously needed for the stump of the amputee, and so tummy, then it is mekabel tummy. Now, what's the issue here? So when we speak about wood, we remind ourselves that in order for wood to become tummy, to be susceptible to tumma, it needs to have a what we call a base kibble. It needs to have an opening, has a cavity of some sort. If it's pshute kliates, if it's flat, so then it's not mekabel tumma. Metal, on the other hand, let's say, for example, metal is mekabel tumma, even if it's flat. But for wood to be mekabel tumma, it needs an opening. So the mystery here is telling you that if there's a base kibble in this wooden foot, where there's room for some padding to be placed in for the stump of this amputee, then it is mekabel tumma. And even though, yes, we mentioned the fact that this is not something that normally he put his weight on. Nonetheless, if it has an opening, has a cavity, it's mekabel tumma. The Mefarshim debate what type of tumma we're talking about. Some explain that this is only referring to regular tumma, tumas meis, and other types of tumma, tumas maga, but we're not speaking about tumas medris. Tumas medris is where a zav or an ida, etc., where they're leaning or sitting on something, it's mekabel tumma. So that's only going to be discussed in the next line, where it's going to mention, the Mishnah is going to mention tumas medris specifically. But others are in the Mefarshim say, no, this is referring to tumas medris as well. After all, if the amputee is a zav, and he's leaning on this wooden foot, that potentially could be tumas medris as well, just like sitting on a chair or leaning on a bed or lying on a mattress, where we say this tumas medris as well. So Mishnah continues, samocho shelo, but if you have a person with a disability, he's missing both feet. So the way he moves is, according to the Mishnah, at least in those days, would be by walking on his legs and his knees together, and he makes pads. The pads are made of leather for his knees to rest on. And those are, they're not on his feet, they're on his knees. So, samocho shelo, those knee pads are tamei medris. They're susceptible to tumas medris. Why? Because here is something, it's his body is being supported by them. And therefore, let's say if he's a zav, as an example, they would become tamei just by his leaning on them. The yotzin bahen bashabbos, but he's also able to go at that on Shabbos. They're considered a tachshit for him, so that's okay. The nichnasin bahen bazar, another third area of halacha. We have tuma, and we have the laws of Shabbos, and now going into the azara, there's the issue of going with shoes. You're not allowed to enter the Harabayis, and here we're mentioning even the Azara itself, go wearing shoes. And since these knee pads are worn on the knee, and they're not on the end of the on the edge of the foot. So because the part of his leg remains below where the knee pads are, so therefore they're not considered shoes, and therefore he's allowed to enter the Azara with them. Kisei, the Mishnah continues, Kisei the Samocho Shalo, Tamei and Medris. What about a chair? So this is where you have an amputee where he's not unable to move using knee pads. He can't propel himself using knee pads because the legs were not strong enough. So they sat on a low stool, and the low stool was tied to them, and they were able to move ahead using their arms, and their bodies would swing forward. You look at the picture book, they'll give you pictures of this. And by doing so, they wanted to protect their hands. So they had these supports, which, for their hands. So that's we have the kisei, we have the chair, we have samocho shelo. These, there were supports that the amputee had. They're made of wood. They were tied to the stumps, and he moved himself ahead with his hands. He would support himself on these supports for his legs. These are the samocho. So this is the kisei, and the samochos are tamei medris, obviously, because his body is being supported on them, and so therefore they're susceptible to Tumas Medrash if he's a Zav, let's say. Vein Yotzin Bahen V'Shabbos, as opposed to the Somochos in the previous Halacha, where we said he's allowed to go out with them on Shabbos because they're considered an adornment, they're considered a Tachshit. Here he's not allowed to go with them on Shabbos. And the Mishnah is speaking about the supports that are tied to the stump, which were not the primary means of moving himself forward. The issue here is that they were not tied very well. If they're not tied very well, they may fall off, and he may carry them. And others claim that it's because they're really not as necessary. He can move himself forward without these somochos, and therefore they're not necessary, and therefore they're considered a masa and not allowed on Shabbos. Now, this issue, if you think about it, these two reasons only apply to the somochos, to the leg supports, but not the stool. The stool is absolutely necessary, and it was tied very well. Nor would this halacha should apply to, let's say, the hand support, not the leg support, the hand supports. Why should that be any different than crutches, which we allow? And therefore, the Mishnah must be teaching us like this, that the kisei and that we spoke about are, which certainly, and the supports that he was using are mekabel tumas medris. However, it's only the supports that the Mishnah is telling us that he's not allowed to go without on Shabbos, but the kisei is perfectly acceptable to go out with on Shabbos, because it should be no difference than some of the other areas, than the previous halacha as well. And then finally, regarding the kisei and the samochos, veinichnas and bahen ba'azara. This, as opposed to the knee pads, which we mentioned, which he's allowed to enter the azara with it, because they're not considered shoes. Here, we considered that which he's wearing, these kisei v'samochos, einich nasin. You cannot enter the azara. Here, the Mishnah is teaching us these are, that's only because the pads were not worn on the edge of his legs. But here, when we speak about these are his shoes, the kisei, the samochos, etc., and that's why you're not allowed to enter the azara with them. The Mishnah mentions the Azara, but the truth is this is really true for Harabayis in general. Then the Mishnah concludes, An Katmin Tahorin. An Katmin. So the Gemara is really unsure what this is. The Gemara offers several possibilities. And look in the picture book, you see them all. So some say it's a wooden donkey that people would wear over the shoulder, that a clown will wear over the shoulders to show as if he's riding something. You have people with these Purim costumes, they have that, or at the weddings. They have this, it looks like they're riding on an animal, but it's just a costume. Or they're wooden stilts that people would wear when things were very muddy. Or finally, it's a mask that's used to frighten children. How interesting. Either way, the Mishnah says Tahorin. Tahorin means that these Ankatmin, whatever they are not considered Kalim, and therefore they're not Mekabel Tumah, and the Ein Yotzin Bohen. And you're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. They're not considered adornments. They're not considered garments. And therefore, you're not allowed to go without in the Rosh Hashanah with them on Shabbos. Perek Vav Mishnah Tes, Habanim Yotzin Biksharim. Boys can go out with ksharim, with a little bit of ties, with laces. It means there's the Mefarshim explain that the Bar Tanur says Bein sheyesh lo ga'aguim alaviv. We know the child has a yearning for his father. If father goes away, the kid goes to school. No tala avrut suar shel minal yamin. The father would take a strap from his right shoe, the kosholo leben mismolo, and tie it on his son's left arm. And therefore, somehow, that's able to, there's a biskula, he says. It's a skula, somehow, to protect him, to eliminate any of the yearnings for his father. It's like a charm. And so this is something that would apply. Why only boys? Because girls were not as attached to the fathers as boys were. And the Mishnah says they're allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. So you would say this is, superstition. This has no effect whatsoever, says Mishnah. So this is permitted. This is what's a segula. And even if you can't explain how this works, nonetheless, this is what people did. It's similar to the kamiya that we mentioned in the past. Uvenei malachim bizugin. And b'nei malachim, princes can go out with bells as long as the clapper had been taken out, because they had a regular bell with the clapper you're not allowed to use. This is also allowed, and they were considered an ornament on their garments, and therefore it's okay. The chaladam, and the mistress says, actually, this is true. When it comes to bells, it's everybody. Laces is only allowed for those who need them. But the bells, everyone can use them. The Mishnah is just telling us that typically it was princes that wore this bell without the clapper, which we consider an ornament. That doesn't mean that only princes can do so. Anyone can do so, but it's just more common that princes would wear them.